Why were you created? Why did God make you? Was he expressing his sense of humor? My wife, one time, she was driving to work. She used to work early in the morning, and there was nobody on the roads when she would drive to work. It was like at dawn. And she was driving on this road up a hill, and it had the double yellow lines down the middle of the road. And she asked God one time, as she was driving, God, what makes you laugh? And she got to the top of the hill just as she finished her question. And she saw these line of ducks walking along this double yellow line. And they're waddling. And she just busted out laughing. Because it's funny. If you ever look at a duck walk, it's hysterical. Next time you see a duck, if they're not in the water, watch them walk. It is the funniest thing in the world. Proves God has a sense of humor. In Isaiah 43, in verse 1, thus says the Lord, who created you, and he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Why did God create you? God created you for himself. God wanted you. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted to know you. He wanted you to know him. And so he created you. In Revelation 4:11, all things that have been created, including people, were created for God's pleasure. So there's something about us whereby God is very satisfied by our existence, by our being here. And that pleasure that satisfies him is not what people would often think. Sometimes if you ask people, what satisfies God, what pleases God about Christians? They'll say something like, well, if they do the right things all the time, or if they follow the law, or what have you. Some people will say, if they live by faith, because of Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. True statement, wrong application. Wrong use of that statement. What does it mean that we are created for God's pleasure? Well, it's not so that we would be perfect. Now, we don't want to go out and sin. Sin is very harmful. It will ruin your life. Everybody who gets into serious sin finds this out. It doesn't work any other way. It always happens. Sin will ruin people's lives. So you don't want to do that. However, we have a sin nature, and that's in our physical body. It's in our genetics. We can't escape that. So people will sin. And remember, in Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. It's not just that I go out and I kill somebody. That is sin because it's not something of faith. People will sin, and that's not really an issue with God, because God took care of that issue. In Ezekiel 33:11, God tells us what he gets pleasure from. It says there, God gets no pleasure at all when a wicked man perishes. When somebody who is evil and goes to hell, God doesn't like that. That actually makes God very sad. What he does get pleasure from in that passage is when someone who is in sin, when the wicked turn from their ways and live. In other words, if somebody was in sin, but they repent, and they stop being in sin, God loves that. Jesus talks about a man who had 99 sheep, but he lost one. And he left all the other sheep behind to find the one. Now, as an application, sheep is talking about Christians. So it's not that there was one person who wasn't saved and a bunch of other people. No. It's talking about one person who goes astray. You have a Christian who fails, who makes mistakes. God will focus on that one Christian, that one person, because he wants them back. And he'll leave everything behind to get that person back, to have them return to him, because he loves them. Why is that the thing that gives God pleasure? Well, it's because of why you were created. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. This means something. We tend to think that love is an emotion or an attitude. Love is not an emotion. Love is not an attitude. A lot of people would say, that's strange. Love is an emotion, isn't it? They confuse love and affection. Those are two different things. Love is not affection, and affection is not love. There are plenty of people who have a lot of affection but little love. There's plenty of people who have a lot of love but little affection. Love is an action. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says that love is first patient, so it's a mental action, and then it's kind. It's an outward action. And all the other characteristics that come after 1 Corinthians 13:4 into verse 7, all of those characteristics come from the first two characteristics. Love is first patient, and then it is kind. God is love. That means God's character. Who is He? He is patient and He is kind. Now, without someone to be patient and kind to, does love even exist? Well, the potential for it exists. But love requires expression, or it's not love. So God required expression. Well, He created the angels, but the angels are perfect. Now, there are those angels that fell, but they can't receive grace, which is the basis on which we receive love, because in Romans 5:2, grace requires faith. Angels are not capable of faith because in Hebrews 11:1, faith is always towards something you cannot see. The angels see God face to face. And so they can't have faith. They have other types of knowledge, but they can't have faith. And because they can't have faith, they can't receive grace. Because they can't receive grace, they can't be saved, because in Ephesians 2:8, salvation is by grace through faith. And so the angels can't get saved, the fallen ones. Now, the perfect angels, they're perfect. There's no patience needed for a perfect being. Kindness to someone who's perfect is like giving them their salary, their wage. That's what they earned. That's what is due to them. Kindness can never be earned. If it's earned, it's not kindness. Think about it. How are you going to express kindness to somebody who actually deserves the kindness you express? Then it's just being fair. Then it's just being right. It's not being kind. You're giving them what they've deserved. That's not kindness. Kindness is always when you give something they don't deserve. That's kindness. And so God, He's patient and He's kind as His first two characteristics, but He had no one to be patient with and no one to be kind to. And so He had a little bit of dilemma. Because He is perfect and He cannot create anything that's not perfect. And yet, He needed somebody that would not be perfect. Because only an imperfect person will need patience and only an imperfect person will need kindness. So what did He do? Well, He allowed certain things to take place. Sometimes people say, why did God put the tree of knowledge of good and evil into the Garden of Eden when He knew that Eve would eat from it? Why did God allow Satan into the garden when he knew that Satan would enter into the serpent and the serpent would get Eve to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and thereby all of humanity would fall. Every human being would have a sin nature because of it. Why did God create Lucifer when he knew Lucifer would become Satan and the problems that would come from Satan? Why did God do that? Well, you see, that's the whole point. God did that for the same reason that he created you. Because he is love. It works like this. Since God is perfect, and everything he does is perfect, he can't create people who are not perfect. Adam and Eve were perfect. All of the angels were perfect. But the Word of God says in Ezekiel 28:15-18, that Lucifer was the most beautiful of all the angels. And because he was beautiful, he became self-centered. And when he became self-centered and he learned that angels would fall and they would not be able to get saved, people would fall and they could get saved, he got very angry with God. The reason why he got angry is because he didn't know God. He didn't understand him. He knew him like a king. But he didn't know the heart of God at all. And so, he got really angry with God and led a rebellion against him, and God kicked him and one third of all the angels, which are the ones that rebelled against God, he kicked them out of heaven. And he allowed them into the Garden of Eden. A lot of people aren't too happy about that, but I'll tell you something, it's one of the most wonderful things he could have done for us. You see, God created Lucifer because he knew that Lucifer would become Satan. God allowed him into the garden because he knew that he would enter into the serpent. God allowed the serpent to talk to Eve because he knew that he would trick her. He allowed the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was Satan's tree in Ezekiel 31:18. That's why God said, don't eat it, it's Satan's tree. He allowed that into the garden because he knew they would eat it. When that happened, Adam and Eve became imperfect. They were perfect, and now they were not perfect. Now, sin was not a problem. And even though sin is a problem in practical life, but it's not a problem as far as God goes toward us. Because in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Before we existed, God took care of the sin problem. And now, when mankind fell and became imperfect, the provision already was in place to take care of their sin, but they now had a need that never existed before. That need was never found in heaven. They needed patience and they needed kindness. They needed love. God is patient and he is kind. But remember, those are actions. One is mental, one is outward. So now God had the opportunity to express who he is. Now love could exist for what it was. Now there was somebody who would be able to receive patience, and there was somebody who would be able to receive kindness and have it be love. Why did God create you? God created you to love you. That's why you're made. You are here for no other reason but that. God made you so that he could love you. Don't ever think to yourself that there is something that can happen or something you can do or some circumstance or whatever that can cause him to stop loving you. Even if you fail, even if you make the worst mistakes in the world, God cannot stop loving you. That's His character. That's who He is. When a person fails, and I'm not saying go out and fail, because God has a very good way of disciplining people who do that by choice. But we all do fail. Every human being fails. We all have that sin nature. When that happens to you, don't ever think that God will not love you or that He will love you less. All that means is that you've given God an opportunity to express patience and to express kindness. And He expresses it abundantly. So everything about your life, good or bad, is there so that God could love you. And if you find out that somehow you're coming up short, just means God has more opportunity to show you how much He loves you. Always the way it works with God. It's never any different than that. That's why even the worst people in the world can still get saved. Because they weren't created to be perfect. They were created to be loved. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.